More motivation on Good News Time. Radio Pulpit, 657 AM.
Because this is the Good News Station. It's 21 minutes to 9 o'clock. You're listening to Radio Pulpit, 657 AM. And I am surrounded by the CEOs. I feel I have to speak in capital letters. Because on my right, I've got Reverend Carl Verhoef, who is the CEO of Radio Pulpit. Hello, Carl.
Good morning, Janine.
And on my left, I've got the CEO of UCB UK, David Leroux. Hello, how are you, sir?
Good morning. Glad to be with you this morning.
Oh, I love that accent. I'm going to make you talk the whole time. It's just gorgeous. I'm going to start off with introducing you.
Yeah.
Because obviously we always see the title and the achievements and everything like you, but you're a normal person, two legs, two arms and everything like you, a family, a wife. Let's introduce you as the normal guy at home.
Absolutely a normal guy, you know, but somebody who has been transformed, needed to be transformed by the power of God's word, yeah? Mm. But I love to actually make sure that people understand that God has no favorite. We are all before God, somebody that God cherish. In fact, the word of God says we are the very apple of his eyes, mm. yeah? For everybody who's listening to us this morning, you know, we are all special. There is no one higher than the other.
Family.
Family, yes. I've got a lovely wife called Jackie. Next year, believe it or not, we've been married 50 years. Something to celebrate. And we are going to celebrate 50 years because we need to. We have, and I've got to actually highlight something. We have two beautiful children, obviously now married and with their own family. One live in France and the other one live in the UK. But I always mention our third child that we actually lost in 1988, who went to be with the Lord, who transformed a part of our life, but is still part of our life. And one day we'll be reunited with him.
What type of grandpa are you? Are you the roll in the grass type?
Or you should actually ask the question to Jackie, my wife. As far as a grandpa is concerned, I've learned from my mistake of being a father, you know, that we need, what the kid needs today is not present.
Mm.
Yeah, they love present, they love toys, they love all these things. But what they want is your presence, yeah? For I'm getting better. And Jackie, what she does, if she wants my attention, she wants to make sure that I chill off, then she calls the grandkids in. And then she knows that I will make time for them.
No, I totally agree. My father-in-law was known as a very staunch guy. You know, stuff is done this way, very militaristic. Yeah. And then the grandkids came. So you've got to enjoy the change God can get
Absolutely.
Done in this. But you are now the CEO of UCB UK. That's not where you started out.
No. In fact, I came to the UK in 1973. Where I was in the mess because I pushed back God out of my life, and there God actually sent me here in the UK, where after being 12 months in the UK, I discovered that you can't live without God, because there is a God-shaped hole within each one of us, and that needs to be filled, and the word of God, the world in which we are living, cannot fill that, yeah? For the story is a long story, therefore I'm giving you a brief summary of it, yeah? So I came to the UK, started as a janitor, yeah? And then when I gave my life back to God, God says, I want you to actually realize you don't have to stay as a janitor, but you can get to the boardroom. And I laugh. I was alone. I laugh. I said, come on, God, I'm in a foreign country. I don't speak their lingo or their language. And I messed up my educations. And God says, well, there is something you need to be aware of, and that is I've made everybody a manual for each one of us, and what we call the Bible. And do you know what? From that day, I realized that I don't need to call the Bible, because so many people, it's such a sacred book mm-hmm. that it gathered this. It's not until you actually open it and allow that to impart unto you that transformation takes place. Therefore, a manual is much more logical for me. And when I started to actually look at the manual, I understood that the Holy Spirit could actually align to me the business principle.
Mm.
For I started to look at the manual through the lens of business principle. And then, do you know what? Because God, by his Holy Spirit, wrote it, then it works. And therefore, year after year, you know, I saw myself climbing the ladder until one day I ended up as the head of an organization in a secular world, which was a discount chain for a big business. Yeah.
And then how did you enter in Christian ministry?
Oh, but, you know, parallel with that, I knew the call of God upon my life from a early age. For when I rededicated my life to God, then I knew that God was up to something. Therefore, I became a lay preacher in my early 20s, really dedicated to the local church. You know, I am not somebody flying from one church to another. I believe that, you know, when we come to a church, we need to be committed and to know that in our commitment, God wants to use us, even in transforming where God has put us. Therefore, I did that. And then through the loss of our son in 1988, somehow love for the young generation increased in my life. And I wanted to actually do more for the young people. And then we met a guy called Bob Hoskin, a great man of God. And he told me his story, and he told me, you know, that, yeah, this world of young generation needs to hear the word of God. That organization, what they do is to try to bring the word of God in a relevant way in the life of people. That organization is known around the world as before a Book of Hope and now as One of Hope. Therefore, I promised him that when I would go back to the UK, that me, my wife and my brother, we would actually launch Book of Hope UK. And that's what we did. But you know what? Your life's getting fuller and fuller. Therefore, you've got the business in one hand. You've got, you know, One Hope in the other hand. And you've been asked to speak there, to speak, you know, where God is actually leading you. And then God got me. Actually said, Dave, you talk to people about the most successful people are the people who actually concentrate in their gifting on one or two things maximum. Mm. Why do you do all that? And therefore, I had to actually listen to God. And God says, I want you to leave the secular world. Now, can I just make a point there? Even if you are in a secular world, you are ministering if you are a born-again Christian, because that's the place where God wants you. And to me, my Bible college days have been done in the secular. I've learned much in doing what I'm supposed to do on a daily basis and making sure that God will use me where the world needs transformations. Yeah, and then after that, I came to actually recognize that I needed to listen to the voice of God. And one day I received a call from UCB UK and actually said, how's a little Frenchman managed to get from the janitor's position to the boardroom?
And they call you.
Yeah, and they call me. For they wanted a story. You know, that's what we do on radio. We want story of life transformed. Therefore, I came, get my story. And then the founder, Ian Mackey, who became a great friend, actually made a beer for me. And we had coffee together. And you know those people you meet for the first time? You feel you know them all your life. And we started to actually walk the journey together until one day I found myself in their board. And another day, years later, I found myself inside the ministry as the ministry director to work with colleagues with passion to try to actually bring a message of hope to this broken world. And then after the miracle that took place in the UK, because we didn't have National Christian Radio. In fact, it was very much against, you know, the privilege to have a radio Christian in that level. But God broke all that, used many people before me to actually make the way, to actually make sure we get National Christian Radio. And then when that actually happened, I remember Ian and I, we were having a cup of soup, and he said, you know, Dev, the miracle has happened, 23-year miracle, and now we've got National Christian Radio. And I said, that's great. I admire your passion. I admire your stamina. And he said, but you know what? Your heart is full of the revival, full for the passion of God moving upon the land in an unprecedented way. I've done what I had to do. Here is the spoon. And I said, no, 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 don't go there. It's not about position. It's not about title. It's about transitions. Because if you don't do transition well, then you mess yourself up and you mess with us. Therefore, I said, don't do this. I don't say anything. Let's just pray and let's walk the journey. And then 6 months down the road, we started the transition. And then the rest is now history.
I'm fascinated with my perception of the whole of Europe. Is as strong as Christianity was, the roots of it. We benefited from it here in South Africa. They deposited that love all over the world. But now they're the poor ones. and that we are the rich ones. I mean, what we can do and what we're allowed to do in South Africa is a completely different ball game in the same world that you are in. So if you had to describe to me the spiritual climate that you are functioning in, what does it look like there?
Well, first of all, I come from France, yeah?
Yes.
Which spiritually is a very poor country, okay? And I came to England and I found the richest, you know, of people, you know, who have gone before us with passions and affected the world through missions and so on, yeah? And the richest as well of, you know, studies and so on. Therefore, when I came from France to England, I discovered the richest of Christianity, really. But, you know, the years ticks and goes by, and sadly, the UK has left their heritage aside and somehow have preferred to actually, you know, dabble with the things of the world and compromise and so on. And sadly, as you say, we've now moved back rather than moving forward. Although I believe that there is changes taking place and God is on the move. However, we're not what we used to be. But it's fair to say that I would say even we're not what we used to be, but we are making progress to where we used to be for greater things to come. But I would say what actually happened, the secularism took over. You know, it's all
even
about
in church.
Yeah. And even in the church, yeah. Therefore it's about, you know, programs, about all kind of activity people want to do well. But to me, I think what's missing, if you don't allow the big boss, the creator of all things, the one who wants us to be successful in all things, to actually be the one who drives the church where it needs to be, like in the old day, then man stands in the way. Therefore, it's about how big I want things to be. It's about the numbers. It's about all kind of things which really God would want us to leave aside and just to actually concentrate on what he will have us to do and to be that channel, that conduct, that we can actually be connected to the right source and making sure that we bring an oasis to the dry and harsh land in which we are living in the UK and Europe. But I'm blessed to be in South Africa and to hear that in South Africa people are awake and learn so much from people like in Europe and now are carrying, you know, the desire of seeing their countries and many other part of the world transformed by the Spirit of God. And that's why many people are affecting us now from South Africa back to the UK. And who knows, I'm going to see a sort of a conversion, you know, between your countries and our country, because God is up to something. Mm-hmm. He wants to actually challenge us to be ready for an unprecedented move of God.
Because as media, it's our mandate to define normal. That's why secular media has defined and moved normal to where they want it. So if your normal is not biblically based, and the leadership of media better have their hearts in line with the Lord and with the Word, otherwise media also compromises and the programming that goes out. Where do you see your role as a leader in media to keep media accountable to the Lord and to his word?
I think the first things we need to recognize is that we have a tremendous privilege of living what I call the digital revolutions. Mm. You know, God used periods of time to actually bring transformation. You go back to the Roman road, and the Romans, obviously, they had a different mandate to build those roads. Mm. But God had another one, and that's to bring the missionaries and the people through those roads to actually bring. And then we had the press, you know, and people wanted to use that for themselves, but God used it for his glory, and the Bible, printed Bible, came to be. And now we are living what I call the digital revolution. And let me give you that little story to make the point, yeah? In UK, some years ago, we actually introduced 24/7 shopping. Therefore, any time in the day during this 24, you could go out shopping. And then one Christmas, about 2 or 3 weeks before Christmas, I'm awake because I hear noise in the room, and my wife is all dressed up to go out. I say, "Hey, honey, where are you going?" And she says, "Dave, we are 3 weeks from Christmas, and I've got nothing for the grandkids and the kids, and I need to do something about it, and the shopping is now 24/7, for I'm going Christmas shopping." And then poor me, I'm left now sitting in the bed all awake, and then that's where the Spirit of God gets your attention, doesn't it? And then he says, "David, if Jackie was craving to see an open church somewhere because she's thirsty and hungry to hear about the things of God, where would she find them at 1 o'clock in the morning? And I started to scan everywhere that I knew, and sadly I could not find anything that I could actually point her heart to. And do you know what God says? Dave, I'm entrusting you with the power of media, where people will invite you in and make sure you don't mess it up. Hmm. Because they need the message of truth. And that's how I came to recognize that the enemy has fooled the church over the years. Do you remember the days where, you know, radio started to be and television started to be, and the church said, we don't want that, that's the devil. Instead of recognizing yes. that God was making tools for us to actually go places where we could never go physically and to bring a message of hope. You know, what I love is to hear those stories of transformation where people at 1 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning, somehow they can't sleep. They are full of anxiety and suddenly they decide to turn a switch and they hear Radio Puppy, they hear UCB Radio, and it's just a lyric of a song suddenly hit them. Or is a verse come from the Word of God, and suddenly they start to embark into a journey of transformation. That's where I recognize the privilege that we have today to be entrusted with platform and making sure that we do the best and bring the best to the people who are experiencing on a daily basis, you know, hopelessness, and we need to broadcast a message of hope.
Amen. Okay, Carl, that's our CEO sitting so quietly next to me. UCB UK and Radio Pulpit, what's the connection?
Janine, firstly, I was hoping you are going to say something about my accent as well, but seeing that that's not...
No, I know your accent.
Janine, to be quick, about 20 years ago, my boss then, Dr. Ruth Peterson, said, Carl, Radio Pulpit needs an international partner. So he sent me to New Zealand to UCB International Conference. UCB stands for United Christian Broadcasters. They've got affiliations all over the world, one of them being UCB UK, that Dave heads up these days. So I went there, and that started the whole process of Radio Pulpit forming the African chapter of UCB International called UCB Africa. I was very much involved with that. That's where I met all the UCB people all around the world. And last year, 2 years ago, UCB Africa changed their name to Word for Today in Africa. So Radio Pulpit is still the single biggest distributor of the daily devotional Word for Today in Africa, in Afrikaans and English, of course. And I know there are thousands of listeners who are so fond of this book, of this daily devotions. So last year, I visited with Charles and our chairperson, Hermie, UCB UK, to learn from them. Because, Janine, I'm not going into it, but a lot of the things we do here today is what we learned at UCB UK. So that is where I got the idea when I heard David speaking and his enthusiasm to propose him as a speaker at the South African ACM conference. That is the Association of Christian Media. We are meeting this week in Durban, all the Christian radio stations and media outlets. And David was invited to be one of the main speakers. And he is our host today at Radio Pulpit. And that's where it all comes from.
Well, you know, radio, there's a microphone, goes out all over South Africa. 400,000 listeners was waiting with bated breath. If you had to share one thing that you've learned the hard way that you think would help, and you got 1 minute to do it, what would you say to South Africa?
I would say to South Africa, the best is yet to come. Stop looking back and don't become a statue of salt like Lot's wife, who craved for what she was leaving behind and somehow could not see that God had a future for her. Therefore, yes, time can be hard, but I want to say to you, time hard, but walking with Jesus, you know that you've got a friend for life. That doesn't immune us from trials, difficulty and problems, but I tell you what, in those times you can turn to someone who will never never let you down. Therefore, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ and you're hearing us today, can I truly urge you to make a bit of time and to reflect on what you've gone through in life alone? Or you may say you have friends and family and so on, but how many of them have let you down? Can I introduce you to a friend who's called Jesus, my friend and our friend here in the studio, who actually loves you so much that he gave his only life that you may find hope and life forever. Therefore, don't push back Christianity because it's not a religion. Religion is man to find God, but Christianity is God to find man, and he has found all of us and he's waiting for us to open our heart. Why don't you do that now and reflect on what I just said, that God loves you and cares for you.